our statement of faith. This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I am mature in the Lord. I am enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day that you've given us. Father God, to be able to come and just give you praise one more time. Father God, to have breath in our bodies, Lord, Father God, just to honor you. Father God, we pray for this message today that it falls on fertile ground, that this seed may grow and write the story for someone's end, Lord, Father God. Again, Lord, Father God, we thank you and praise you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can have your seats. You know, over the years, I've been blessed to be able to give a lot of briefings and talk to a lot of people and before a lot of audiences. And when the pastor asked me, he said, John, will you bring us the word February 9th? I said, sure, pastor. Then I kept looking and preparing my word. And over the years, it always seemed like when I went to a banquet, I'd always get the table leg. You know, when you're sitting there, you don't know whether to go to the right or left of the table leg or straddle it. Or when I was speaking, it was always either right before lunch or right before the end of the day. Now, if you're a speaker, that's pressure, because people are looking at you like, man, I need to get out here and go to lunch. My stomach's growling. Or at the end of the day, they're like, man, I done heard all these briefers, and now you up here. All they hear is wah, 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 wah. And you standing up here in front of us, ain't nothing standing between us and that door but you. So then the football playoffs came. I was like, okay, February 9th, pastor, come on. Brother, never been in your pulpit, only been back a few months, and you're going to throw me on Super Bowl Sunday. Okay, no pressure. No pressure, pastor, not at all. Then he say, hey, you know, I figure 10, 15 minutes, you guys can get out, go fix your wings, you know, you're all good. He said, you can give us about 40-something. Oh, okay, all right, pastor, we'll give it a shot. But anyway, I thank God for being here today and being able to bring the word. We're not going to be before you long. I want to give honor to, again, the man of this house. I want to give honor to my lovely wife, who is my helpmate. And, you know, for men, I tell you, you're not complete. And God arranged it that way. If you don't have your helpmate with you that stands beside you and props you up when you're not strong. So I give honor to her today. Our scripture for today is God's plan is eternal. There is no plan B. And it comes from Jeremiah, and I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. And Jeremiah 29:11, which is a very familiar passage to you, many of you. And it says, for I know the thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, like I said, that song couldn't have been more fitting today. The plans I have for you, not your plans, but God's plans, to write your story for you. And there is no plan B. You can plan as much as you want. You can go about dotting every I and crossing every T, but it's God that has the final word. And until you come to that conclusion, you're going to be like a hamster on a hamster wheel. And you're going to wonder why, wait a minute, I just seen that sign a few minutes ago. And you keep running. And You say, wow, I just passed that landmark a few minutes ago. But when you let go and you let God, he's going to straighten your path and allow your story to be written. There is no plan B. Now, just to get technical here for a second, planning is the process of thinking regarding the activities required to achieve a goal, policy, or procedure. Some of you military folks and some of you corporate folks that's in the high levels know about planning. Planning is undertaken with a conscious purpose. You don't just accidentally fall into a plan. You when you're planning something, you're intentional about it. It ain't something that just accidentally happens. Planning is done on purpose. You know, this year, we're talking about precise intentionality. That's planning. You got to plan to be God's child. Many of you say, well, I'm already there, and that's fine. Planning is to be effective and must be perpetual. So you can't just throw it out there and hope that it grows. You got to keep watering that thing. Amen. You got to keep pruning it a little bit so it gets a little taller. You got to plan. Now, you say, well, if God's writing the plan, why do I have to go through all this? And we're going to talk about that. To carry out a plan, one must be intentional. Now, we have plans in our life. Rich people have plans. Now, I know we got some rich people in here, so you'll probably find these things are in your nature. You rise early. You get sleep. You keep cool. You buy up company stock, or you allow your Benjamins to go out there and get their friends and bring them back. That's what that means. You set and you stick to goals. Successful people, and I know we have some successful people in the house today, they do daily lists. They got a list, a checklist that they check off every day. They network with other folks. They educate themselves so that they're abreast of what's going on around them. Now, some people look at success a little different, and that's fine. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give life and life more abundant. Now, that abundant life may look different for everybody. You know, that abundant life for some may be a hooch on the beach with a Honda Accord, or it may be the mansion on the hill with the Maseratis, the Ferraris. That abundant life may look different for everybody. And that doesn't matter. It's your abundant life that matters. You can't look at the Joneses and try to do what the Joneses do and say, well, that's my abundant life. No, you got to walk in your path. You got to walk in your plan. The military, and a lot of you may be affiliated with the military, has plans. They don't just haul off and you know I'm from the country when I say haul off. So I understand some of you probably know what I'm talking about. But, you know, they don't just go into a place and say, oh, we're going to take it over. And they jump on their planes or tanks or whatever and just go out there. No, they have strategic plans. They have plans. They're going to go in and, okay, we're going to send the bombers in. We're going to cut the communication lines and the supply lines so that they don't have any supplies. Then we're going to go in and we're going to attack this. And then we're going to go attack that. So it's a plan. So the military carries out a strategic plan. Many of you have 1, 3, and 5-year plans, and that's fine. You say, hey, in the next year, I want to have $1,000 saved up in my emergency account so that if something happens with my car, I'll have the cash to take care of it. I won't have to use my credit card. In 3 years, I want to have $5,000, and in 10 years, I want to be able to just go out and when I see that new pair of shoes, just buy them and not even have to worry about the budget. So we have 1, 3, and 5-year plans. Now, I know that there was something on the schedule about a vision board program that we're going to have. Vision boards are great planning tools. Now, in my house, a vision board is, baby, you're going to buy me this, you know, when it's stuck up there. But, you know, I had to take care of Miss Fennell because I don't want to be, you know, it says that now we have man caves, but it used to be rooftops. So, men, when it says, you know, you can't live in the house with a contentious woman, you go to the rooftop. Well, I tell you what, look at that vision board, and you won't have to keep going to that rooftop or that man cave. So you need to take care of your helpmeet. Now, where there is no vision, people perish. You know, we used to have little bracelets here at Striving that said PPP, the Lord through home, which was a great evangelistic tool. So when you went out and people saw your little bracelet, what is that? Oh, that's my church. We're people perpetually pursuing the Lord through home. Well, what's home? Oh, that's being humble for the Lord. That's being obedient to the Lord, mature in the Lord, and enthusiastic about the Lord. You ought to come to our church on Sunday and learn a little bit more. You know, we got a dynamic pastor, and he really preaches that word, and he teaches. We don't come in here hoop, holler, and make you feel good, but he's going to teach you and challenge you to live life for the Lord. So planning, it's got to be on purpose. If you don't have a vision, then, you know, the guy, and somebody's going to disagree with me with this, but I'm going to throw it out there. If you don't have a vision, how is God going to use you? How is God going to use you? So growing up, I used to hear people say, God works in mysterious ways. And for a long time, I said, okay, that's a good catchphrase. It works because nobody knows how God works. He just shows up. You know, he might not come when you want him, but he come right on time, you know. Man, I was down there at that grocery store, and the Lord came to me and told me to buy that lottery ticket. And I scratched it off, and he was right on time. Man, I hit them numbers. You know, when you don't know God, then you can hold that as truth. And I held that as truth for a long time until I came into the knowledge of who God was and how God worked. Once I came into the knowledge of God, then I understood that God is not mysterious. There's nothing mysterious about God whatsoever. God lays his plan out there for you. All you got to do is keep on walking. And God will keep opening them doors. He'll keep opening every door you get to. You know, we used to have to go to the grocery store and open the door and stuff, or get your grocery cart and you're fumbling with your cart trying to get your door open and push the cart out. Now all you got to do is walk up there and the door's just, that's how God is. You just keep walking. God's going to, one day you're going to look back and you're going to be like, wait a minute, what's that other set of footsteps there? And you're going to understand who God is. And he's been walking with you the whole time. When I was younger, the only thing I wanted to do is get out of Burgard, North Carolina. I wanted to leave that little town. I wanted to go to California. My plan was I was going to go in the military. I was going to be an E-8. I didn't even know what an E-8 was. I was going to go in the military. I was going to be an E-8. I was going to get me a Corvette, and I was going to be good. I was going to retire. I was like, man, that was my plan. Didn't know nothing about half of what I was talking about, but that was my plan. At 17 years old, my mother signed the paperwork for me to go in the military because I wasn't old enough. So at 18 years old, because I was in the National Guard, and I said, hey, this Army stuff ain't for me. So I went down to the recruiter. They sent me out in the woods. I said, oh, no, I can't do this. I went down to the recruiter, and I said, somebody got to give me some relief. So I signed up for the Air Force. May 1982, my mother, And that lady right there put me on a bus going to Lackland Air Force Base. I said, my God, I had never left the borders of North Carolina. I had arrived. My plan is on the way. My Corvette's coming. You know, but I say all that to say this. That was my plan. And I threw it out there. And over the years, plans change, things happen, you have kids, you go on to different jobs and things like that. But in the back of my mind, I always wanted that Corvette, and I was going to be at the beach with that Corvette. That was my plan. I was in the military, so the E8 thing was working itself out. So, you know, sometimes our plans, even if we don't know what the story is going to end like, we got to keep working it. And sometimes God may put something in your path that you may not agree with, but you still got to walk through that thing. You got to keep walking through it, no matter how hard it gets. You know, Jonah didn't want to go down there and preach to them Ninevites because he thought they were heathens. So Jonah was going to go the other way, but God had a plan. Jonah, you're going to go down there and preach to them. So when he went in the belly of that fish and he got spit up on the shore and Jonah went down there and preached to them and they got the revelation and they got saved, that was God's plan. It wasn't Jonah's plan, but it was God's plan. So when you start going through stuff, you got to understand that God has a plan for your life. And no matter how hard it may get, you just keep on walking. Even though you may not agree with the situation you're in right now, just don't allow to do anything illegal, immoral, and keep on walking through it, and God will work it out for you. He'll keep shining that light for you. You know, the children of Israel were in bondage. God promised to bring them into the promised land. You know, there's nothing more mysterious than God. Then, like I said, when he tells you to do something and you don't know how it's going to come out, but like I said, there is no mystery. You know that it's going to turn out for his glory, not your glory, but his glory. So there is no plan B. You need to use your time, your talent, and your treasures to glorify God. Now, I'm reminded of a story in Kings where the Samaritans were surrounded and there were four lepers sitting at the gate. And it's hard enough to get two people to agree on something. So, you know, trying to get four to agree is something else. So there's four lepers sitting at the gate. Understand that one day you were a leper. Before you came to Christ, you were out there. Maybe nobody wanted to touch you or be around you. You might still be that way. But understand that God has your back and God has a plan for you. So these four lepers are sitting there and the city of Samaria is surrounded and there's significance in Samaria because Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. But they said, if these people in here are starving to death. They can't get no supplies in. They can't get no supplies out because they're surrounded by the army. That'd be about like us in here today. If they shut all the doors and surrounded us, in about a week's time, we'd be starving. We'd be eating everything just like them people were. So they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go in the city, inside the gates, because understand lepers weren't allowed inside the gates, we're going to die because they're starving. If we go over there to the opposing army, they may kill us and we're going to die. So what are we going to do? So they said, well, let's take our chances. If they got food and they don't kill us, then we live. So that was their plan. They just wanted something to eat. Here we are, lepers. Nobody wants us. We hungry. We ain't got nowhere to go. At least when we were sitting at the gate and everything was good, somebody would throw us some food. So they decided to go to the enemy's camp. Sometimes you got to go to the enemy camp, take back what the enemy stole from you so that you can go to the next level. So on the way to the enemy's camp, the enemy heard these footsteps coming, and they figured, oh man, they done rustled up the armies of all these other nations to come against us. So they took off. Man, they left everything. They left their shoes, their clothes, their gold. They just left. So when these lepers get there, they find out that, oh my goodness, they ate good. They was riding good. They was clothed good. And then they thought about it. Wait a minute. This ain't right. Because when them hungry folk find out about it, you know, they going to be mad. And then they going to kill us. So we going to go tell them. So they hid all they wanted to hide. Then they went and told them. So now God has worked it out that four lepers, no future, beggars, they probably the richest folks in the area now. So don't look at other folks and see what they have and say, hey, you know, they doing good. And I'm just a leper riding in my hoopty. You just ride your hoopty. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan. Hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes I think about where striving came from. You know, after the living room and then down to Chester Pruitt, Brother Mose, I got to tell on you. Brother Mose say, you know, the person, how he put that thing? He said, the person that knows how gets to do the job, the one that knows why gets to supervise. So down at Chester Pruitt, it was an upstairs rec center. So every Sunday, we'd have to back the van up there, speakers twice as big as this, and carry them upstairs, hook them up, put the chairs out. We had to basically set the room up every Sunday morning. Couldn't do it early because they had activities during the week. So Brother Mose, he knew why, okay? So the rest of us, we knew how. So, you know, I said, Lord, one day I need to learn out why. Lord, you got to help me with this. But, you know, that's what striving came from to where it is now in this beautiful sanctuary where you just come in, sit down, air condition, and just enjoy the word, the music. I mean, we've come a long ways. We didn't know what God had written out on his plan. All we knew that we wanted to have a church and we wanted to praise the Lord and give the Lord some glory. But look what God has done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, this morning when between the songs, it's like, you know, we are in the prayer. We got a lot happening in this country and it's moving real fast and a lot of people are got a lot of things going on. Say he ain't political. Say he ain't political. This ain't political, okay? This ain't political. But when there's change going on, a lot of people can't handle change quickly. But as Christians, you got to understand that change is going to happen, and God has a plan for the change, and you know it's going to work out for your good because the word tells us that. So all you got to do is just keep walking. Amen. Don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. You know, I used to be a government worker. Like I said, I used to do a lot of briefings. I used to travel around the state of North Carolina. My job was to talk to those veterans who did not get word or the message when they got out of service that they may be eligible for certain benefits. So it became my ministry to help those that not necessarily less than, but didn't get the word. So that became my pulpit. So everyone that I met, the challenge was to make their life better by trying to get them more benefits, whether that was housing, monies, health care, or whatever. it was my job to tell them about how to get into these programs. So during administration changes, I worked on an administration that set the rules that said, okay, I need to be able to fire those higher up. Because when you get in, some of you understand that when you get to certain GS levels, unless you do something illegal, it takes a lot to be fired. And nobody in the chain can come and say, boom, you're fired. So they changed the rules just for the higher echelon. But of course, as you know, as in the military, the same thing, what happens with the general happens to the colonel, which happens to the captain, which happens to the master sergeant, which eventually gets down to the airman. So this trickled down to the place where now, I don't care if you got a union, we can walk in at any time and say, clear your desk. Now, working under those type circumstances on a daily basis is really stressful. Right now, and this isn't political, our government workers, and some of you, maybe some of you online, may be working for the government, you may be working for the military or any part of the government. Understand that you need to come up with a plan because you have a choice at this point. You can stay or you can go. I used to say, if I stay, I got to be able to give this man 100% every day, no matter whether I like it or not. As long as I'm not going to be doing anything illegal or immoral or unethical, then I got to give 100% because every 2 weeks they're paying me for that 100%. So you got to do that. And you got to stand there and take whatever is given to you. Now, understand that is stressful. Or you can go. Now, I know that, and I told my son this when he joined the military. I said, understand that if you're just going in for a short amount of time, that's fine. But once you get in there, that government money and the ease of your duties is going to get you hooked. And you ain't going to want to leave because it's like somebody dropping cheese to you every 2 weeks. You just sitting there eating fat, dumb, and happy. All you got to do, you know, I was in the military, so I could say this. That's the easiest job in the world. And I tell young people this all the time. All you got to do is you got to know why. But you got to show up in the morning on time. You got to act like, at least in the Army, you got to act like you're doing something for a few hours. Because they don't come in at 9 o'clock after that 5 o'clock PT and all that. But anyway, my brother-in-law, hopefully he ain't looking at this because he was Army. And then somebody's going to tell you when to go home. So all you got to do is show up on time the next day, do a little something-something, and go home. How easy does it get? I mean, it doesn't. And every 2 weeks, they're going to drop you some cheese. Come on. God had a plan. He said, you know, this little barefoot boy from Burgard, North Carolina, he needs something easy. I ain't want to have to think too much. So I said, hey, I found out why. I said, man, if I show up every morning, uniform, you know, pressed and looking good, and I make it through the day, somebody's going to tell me when to come back the next day. So for 24 years, hey, I ain't good. But it gets you hooked. So you got to make a plan and say, God, if I'm going to stay here, I may have to go through some trials and tribulation. So you're going to have to be with me. You're going to have to give me a scripture in the morning, midday, and in the evening. But if you go, don't leave without the cheese. Don't leave without the cheese. But God's going to make a plan. He's got it already written, whether you come, stay, or go. So for those that are working for the government, don't worry. Have you ever, what the word say, when have you ever seen the birds of the air? Have you ever seen his people begging bread? No. So don't worry about it. Let God. But you need a plan. You need to be able to walk through this thing. You know, I talk about plan and God's plan. God's plan was for you to give him glory. How easy can that be? All you got to do is give God glory. When he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he gave them everything they needed. All he wanted was them to obey him. That's all it was. And they had everything they needed. You're the same way. His plan hasn't changed. There is no plan B with God. Just understand. In Genesis, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you your name great, and you shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's what he told Abraham. Abraham may not have seen the blessing that God said, I'm going to put on you. But we know the end of the story. We know what God done for Abraham. Proverbs says, if your enemy is hungry, give him some bread to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him some water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. If you got the enemies coming against you, be nice to them. I had a master sergeant one time that looked me straight in my face, and it was because of the color of my skin. He said, you'll never be promoted. Oh, boy, that thing stuck me, because I wasn't a master sergeant yet. And I said, I'm going to make master sergeant. So as that song say, when I kneel down to pray, that was the first thing on my list. I said, Lord, show him who he's messing with. He don't know he's messing with a child of God. I learned that from striving. Somebody told me one time in Bible study to say, you got to understand the power that you hold as a child of God. I learned that right here, striving. I prayed for him. Every day that I saw him, I smile at him. I say, hey, how you doing? I said, I got to get from under this man. So I went over and I talked to my chief, and I said, you know, I want to be a first sergeant. He said, okay, I can make that happen. Fill in for me. I said, okay, I'll fill in for you for a little while. Where you going to be? He said, I'm getting ready to go to the desert for 6 months. I'm like, hey, hold up. I have never done this before. We got 400 people to take care of. I say, but Lord, I pray for it, so I'm going to walk through this thing. The first week, I get a call, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's the wing commander saying, Sergeant Fennell, I understand we had a situation last night, and I want a briefing on what happened, where this airman is. This airman had pulled a shotgun on his family. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying in my bed. I didn't know whether to get up, get dressed, or stand that attention in my underwear. I said, Lord, what have you gotten me into? I got out of the, you know, I jumped out of the fire into the furnace. So for the next year, I was the first sergeant out here at Herbert Field. I had a murder. I had a suicide. I had plenty of domestic disputes. I had never even dreamed of doing those type things. When the chief came back, I was ready to go back and work for that master sergeant. I said, Lord. You know, but the whole time I was kept praying, Lord, help me. Lord, you got to help me through this. You know, I went back over for 6 months, and I got promoted to master sergeant. And the first person that came up to me to congratulate me was the person that told me that I would never make it. God will make your enemies your footstool. But I prayed for him because Proverbs says, do not rejoice when your enemies fall. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord sees it and is displeased in him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Now, I'm not saying, you know, write all your enemies down and, you know, start praying for them so that, you know, they'll fall or anything. But I'm just saying, if you're going through something, don't get, as they say, what they say, don't get mad, get glad. Give God some praise because he's writing your story. He's looking to see if you can handle the fire. You know, the Lord went through over and over again with his children. He sent them into bondage. He bring them out. They do something. He sent them into bondage. They bring them out. It's like you putting your kids in time out. They do something. You put them in time out. They come out. 5 minutes later, they doing it again. It's like, Lord, have mercy. Help me. But you know, when the Lord is trying to work something out for you, there should be no question. You say, Lord, I know if you got me here, you're going to take me a little further. Yeah. Yeah. You know, don't be like Job when Job was questioning God and God had to come to him and step to him and say, Job, where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I had the waters receding? Where were you, Job? How much of that did you participate in? That's the thing you got to understand, that when you are going through something, don't question God. Just thank him. Just thank him. My wife got a saying that she tells my daughter all the time. When God says no, shout. When God says no, shout. Because he's got something better on the other side. He's got something better on the other side. You know, if you don't already, and sometimes it's hard for me to be here in person, but I make it a habit of catching the pastor on Wednesday night because that's when the precepts are broken down and the teachings are done. Tune in on Wednesday nights and hear the pastor as he's going through these scriptures and explaining things, and so that you can get an understanding of how God is working things out in your life. You got to make this thing personal. You got to make it personal. You know, when Jesus was before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and this kind of goes in line with what we were talking about Wednesday night, is, you know, they try to trap Jesus and get him into, you know, something that they could come against him on. And Jesus, they said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Understand that that is the key to God's everlasting plan. If you love God with all your heart, with all your mind and all your soul, that's everything that you have. You turn it over to God. That's including your money, your kids, your cars, your plans. Turn it over to God. You say, well, how do I do that? Study God's word so that you'll know how to walk this thing out, so you'll know how to apply his plans to your plans, because as they say, when you make what's important to God important to you, yeah, you're going to start seeing some doors opening, yeah, because then your plans line up. Yeah. But he said there's the second one likened to it. You should love your neighbors as yourself. Now, that's a tough one. However, comma. When you use your time, your talent, and your treasures in your plans in order to do God's will, loving thy neighbor is not a problem. It's not a problem whatsoever. So God's plan is for you to give him glory in everything that you do and let him take care of you. You know, I was telling the pastor right here before church started, that We left here in 2021, September 2021. My plan, as I told you, was to be a master sergeant and have me a Corvette. So when we left, striving was like sticking a dagger in you because this was home. I learned how to be humble before the Lord, obedient to the Lord, mature in the Lord, and enthusiastic about the Lord. There was no mystery in who God was. When that 20-year span that we were gone, went through a lot of churches, and my wife don't like me to say this, but I was kicked out of some churches. I knew what Pastor Bolden said. Hey, you go in and you check them out and you ask them, hey, you know, you don't want to be sitting in there one Sunday and they lock the back doors and start doing some freaky stuff in there. So you need to know what you're joining. So, you know, it's been a lot of ups and downs, but I look back on my life and I see that God has worked things out. Like I said, when I left Burgard, North Carolina, young, 10 to 18 years old, and my mother put me on that bus along with my wife now, I didn't have no plans of ever coming back to Burgard. I didn't want to come back to that little town. But that was the last time I saw my mother. 10 years later, after some things happened and God slapped me on my head and said, son, you got to get this thing right. The Lord came to me one day and said, you know, because 10 years I questioned, why, Lord? He said, I took your mother and she's up here with me. But I gave you a helpmeet. That was my plan. To stand beside you on your walk, no matter what you've done or where you went, to be able to lift you up in those hard times, to be able to encourage you when you needed encouragement. That was God's plan. During that 20 years, I had two people that I knew that if I called them, they were going to answer. Two people that I stayed in touch with. If I needed to bounce something off of somebody, I called my brother-in-law. And he'd give me the raw truth. That's one thing about Army folk. They're going to tell you the raw truth, whether you want to hear it or not. He would give me the raw truth. During that 20 years' time, we stayed on the fringes in touch with striving, hitting the messages here and there online as we went along. But there was one person that kept calling. And they would call, same like when we knew something was going on. Hey, Brother John. How you doing? Hey, Finales, how you doing? In 20 years, Brother Gene Ginn kept in touch. Never lost a number. Brother Ginn called us. And I was like, Lord, never had plans of coming back to Florida. We were just living life. September of this year, we signed a contract 21 years later, 20-some years later, to come back to Florida, down here, and buy a house. God had a plan to bring us back full circle. God had a plan to bring me home. God ain't through with me yet, but God has a mission for me. So striving, I'm here to tell you right now, just keep on walking that thing out. God's plan is for you to give him glory and to give him everything that you have, and he's going to supply your every need. Now, my plan to be a master sergeant, yeah, he was even better than that. He made me an E8 instead of an E7 when I retired. And then when we rolled off down here to Florida, my baby said, hey, guess what? Here's your Corvette. Tell me that God won't do it. Will he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Hallelujah. Now, we talk about material things, but there's somebody out there today that's going through some things. They're going through some struggles. They're going through some mental hurt right now. There's some people that maybe don't even know how they're going to make their light bill at the end of the month. There's some that understand that if I spend this money now, I'm not going to have it later. There's some people going through a lot of things right now. But I tell you, if you put it in God's hand and trust and believe that God is going to take care of you. Sister Lisa, you're talking about out there traveling and trying to make those inroads. Put it in God's hands. Let God work it out. Hallelujah. Like I said, there's a lot of people out there that's going through some things right now. It's decision time. With every head bowed and every eye closed.